This week, we took the kids to a movie, and we took them to go see, what is it? Finding Dory. I don't know. I get Nemo, Dory, it's all the same movie. Anyway, so we went to go take the kids, and we got to the movie theater, and I already decided, I knew Kathy didn't want to go see Finding Dory because of one of the voices behind it. I know she can't stand one of the voice people behind it. And I really didn't care to go see Finding Dory. I understand it's a wonderful movie, and maybe I'll see it when the video comes out. But I told her, you know what? The two movies are playing at the same time. You guys go see Finding Dory, and we'll go watch You Before Me. There you go. So we go watch You Before Me, and we get in the theater, and there's like two other people there, and we go sit kind of in our own little spot, and all these other people come in, and they like sit all the way around. I mean, they've got the whole theater to sit in, okay? The whole theater to sit in, and they sit like all the way around us, all right? And so right before the movie starts and the lights go down, I happen to just kind of look around, see who's there, see if I can say hi to anybody that I know or anything. And I noticed that I am the only guy, the only man in the theater, all right? And I looked at Kathy, and I said, this is not good. And it wasn't. It was a very good movie. We watched the movie. When we get to the end, I'm not going to ruin it for anyone who wants to go see it, but everyone started bawling. And I don't mean crying. I mean snot rolling, the whole nine yards going on, and they're all the way around us. And Kathy is even crying. And if you know, I know, see, it's weird, isn't it? Lisa said, that's weird. Kathy is sitting there crying, and I look over at her and I go, are you really crying? And all these women are sobbing, and if they were all in unison, it would have been one thing, but they weren't. It was like a constant, and I started, see? I started laughing. And I couldn't stop laughing. And in order to try to stop, I thought if I took a drink, that might help. Don't do that. Because then I started choking and laughing. And I literally, I got to a point where they were sobbing and I was sobbing because I was laughing so hard and choking to death. And so I tried to get up and get out of the theater. And I got to I didn't tell you this part, but I got to the theater door and I thought I was going to exit, and it must have been close to the end of the theater movie because the guy from outside met me at the door and I thought, uh-oh, I can't leave. And so I just sat in the back trying to get the control, and I finally went back and sat down, and then they started sobbing again and I started laughing and the woman behind me was getting upset, and it was not good outside the theater later. Women can be very sensitive about their crying. I'm going to say that right now. But we all cry about different things, don't we? We can all get emotional and upset about different things. It hits us differently at different times. And that's okay because we're all made differently, right? We're all different. I mean, I'm different than Nick over there, and he's different than Janice over here. We're all different. We've all been made uniquely. God has made each one of us fearfully and wonderfully. He knows every hair on our heads, and so we are so unique in amazing ways. It's fantastic. It's amazing. But it creates a problem. It was a hair on the head thing, wasn't it? Sorry. Anyway, never mind. So, we're uniquely made. Some of us he just knows better than others. I'll just say that. We're uniquely made, which is a fantastic thing. But it creates a little bit of a dilemma in people in a lot of different ways. Because they see that they're uniquely made. They recognize that they look different and think different and cry different and laugh different and have different emotions and different desires and different plans and different things like that. But they all recognize, not all, but those who know God recognize that God has a will or a plan for their lives, right? And the big problem is, for so many people, is trying to figure out what God's will is for your life. This big question. just got done with Revelation. So now we're going to tackle one of these big questions. What is God's will for your life? The reason I'm looking at this is because when we were out in Wyoming, Chris and I, we were going out to bring in all the cattle, so start driving them up into the mountains. We had to go gather them up from this great big place, and we were riding alongside one another. And if you know, I've tried to explain Chris Limmer to you. It's hard to explain this man. He's like 70-some years old, about yay tall, not very tall. His skin is like leather. It really is. This is like, he's like the typical cowboy. If you ever seen a picture of an old cowboy, that's Chris Limmer. And to look at him, you'd think he's nothing but a cowboy. You'd think all he ever does is ride a horse and fix fence and chase cows and stuff like that. But the guy is, his heart is so amazing for God. He's a pastor also, and he takes care of his flock in an amazing way. Not just the people who come to his church, the entire area recognize him as a godly man and someone who they can trust. It's amazing when we go to the brandings, that we go to the different brandings and at all the different ranches, there might be 30, 40 people there, and I don't think there's any of them that go to his church, but all of them recognize who he is and respect him. That doesn't mean they don't tease him and joke around with him, but they respect him, and you can really tell that in the way that he interacts and they interact with him. And so when we're riding out that morning, early in the morning, and it was really going to be one of the last times we're going to see each other throughout the rest of the day, because he was going to send me one way to gather up one part of the pasture. And when I say pasture, it's not what you're thinking about, a pasture here in Illinois. We're talking square miles of pasture. We're probably 15, 20 square miles of pasture that we're gathering up at one time. And he's going to send me one way, and I'm going to send him, he's going to go the other. And we're riding alongside each other until we get to the point where we're going to break. And just before he breaks, and he does this to me all the time, he goes, "Eldon." I said, "Yeah, what's up, Chris?" I thought he was going to give me some instruction. And just out of the blue, he goes, "Eldon, do you know what God's will is for your life?" And I'm a pastor. You know what I'm saying? And I looked at him. I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "Do you know what God's will is for your life?" And I said, "I think so." And he took off. And so the rest of the day, I was thinking, okay, what is God's will for my life? And so I'm riding the horse, I'm gathering cows, and the whole time I'm thinking, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? What is his will for my life? And so you know what happens. So I get back, and I open up my Bible, and I start looking for what God's will is for my life. And I discovered something really interesting. God's will. What we're going to do is take a look at it. What is God's will? If you have your Bibles, we're going to start at Ephesians chapter 5. Wow! We are just going to get started is all we're going to do today. Ephesians chapter 5. Is anyone interested in this? Does anyone want to know what God's will is for their life? Yes? Excellent. I like to hear that. We're going to get you started, and hopefully you're going to want to learn more. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm in chapter 4, no wonder it looks like nothing I've been reading and looking at. Ephesians chapter 5, not 14. 4. Whew. Here we go. We're going to be starting at verse 15. Paul speaking. Boy, we could back up a long ways if we wanted to here. Let's just start at 15. It says, "Be very careful then how you live." It's kind of talking right in the wheelhouse of what's God's will for your life. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." Does that sound like God's will? Listen to what it says. "Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Did you hear that? Understand what the Lord's will is. So how do we understand what God's will is? How do we do that? Because there's all kinds of different ways. How do we understand what God's will is for our life? We can learn it. take a look at Psalm 143. Psalm 143 says this. Psalm 143, backing up to verse 8. Psalm 43, giving it verse 8, says, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love." Let the morning, first thing in the morning, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. For I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." Verse 9, "Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you." Sounds like the storm guys, right? Verse 10, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, and may your good spirit lead me on level ground." Did you hear what it says in verse 10? It says, "Teach me to do your will." Now, what has God given us to teach us to do his will? He's given us a few things. What's he given us to teach us to do his will? Very good. No one said anything, but a couple of you went like this. God's word. He gave us his word to teach us to do his will. That's why it's got to be translated, right? Just like she said, how can they know if someone does not tell them? And how can they be told unless someone goes and tells them? And how can they even be told unless someone gets the translation of God's word to them? Because God's word is living and active. This is what changes lives. Our testimony as witnesses is great, but God's word is what penetrates deep into the hearts of man to separate bone from marrow. Okay? It's the one that brings life-changing wisdom into our life. And so if we think that we're going to know God's will and understand God's will without getting into God's word, we are sorely mistaken. If you think you're going to figure out God's will for your life and find great blessing in your life daily by coming to church on Sunday morning and having Eldon or some other guy or gal get up and open God's word for you, that's not going to work. You see, you need to allow God's word to be open in your own hands, to read those words, to meditate on those words. And here's the thing. God knows where you're at. He knows what you need. I kind of like what Jody said. You know what? Even if you just open it up somewhere and read one passage and think about it, God can work in your life. Allow him to do that. But I want to assure you about something. God's will is going to be accomplished. Listen to me. His will is going to be accomplished no matter what. It's going to happen. Because nothing can keep God's will from happening. The choice that you're making is whether you're going to be a part of God's will, whether you're going to receive the blessing of going along with him or whether you're going to stand back and let it go by you. Because his plan is going to come to fruit. He's already told us through Revelation. He's told us through the scripture that Dan read already. He told us what's coming. He told us what it's going to be like. And we can be a part of his plan or we can be on the outside looking in. If we're a part of his plan, there's great blessing. That does not mean that everything is going to be great. It does not mean the tornado is going to pass you by or there's going to be a wall set there so you're not going to be harmed in any way. It does not mean that. It means that God is going to take you through no matter what the storm is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the disease is. God's will is going to be accomplished in your life if you are following God, if you're seeking him out. The neat thing about God's will, it's really interesting. It's the same for all of us. What I discovered in my study of God's will is that there are foundational truths from God's word that apply to each and every one of us. And we're going to go through those foundational ideas or those foundational truths of God's word for the next several weeks. We're going to look at the truth of God's will for every single one of our lives. And so you're thinking, no, wait a minute. If we're looking for God's will for my life, why do I have to worry about God's will for everyone's life? Because if we don't get the foundational will of God's will for our life, if we don't get those things down, we're going to get stuck somewhere and we won't be able to find the details of what God is wanting us to do. Because, see, God's will is kind of like, I've been trying to think of a good illustration this entire week, trying to figure out how to make this happen for you so you can kind of get an understanding of what's going on. Because God's will is like maybe driving a car, okay? Every kid wants to drive a car. Even little kids, they get a car and they just want to get in, you know, they get their motor running and they know they have to grab hold of the steering wheel. I don't know if their hips have to do that, but you know how it goes. They got to turn the steering wheel and they got to make the noise and stuff like that. And they know they've got to do something with this. And everyone wants to drive a car. But is going like this driving a car? It's not, is it? No, not even that, Andrew. I'm doing it calmer. If you're driving the car like that, I don't want to be in it. That's just not how it works. Maybe you've been riding with Jacob too much. I don't know. This isn't how you drive a car, but that's, in order to drive a car, you have to have some skills beforehand. You have to have the foundation. First of all, you have to, not even first of all, but you have to know how to turn the key. There's all kinds of things that are needed in the foundation before you get behind the wheel and actually start going down the road. It's the same thing with God's will for your life. There's some foundational truths. There's some things that you need to have built into your life before you start getting into the minute details of God's will. God's will. There's an interesting passage in John that Jesus speaks in John chapter 17. I'm probably going to end here. I didn't want to, but I'm going to. John chapter 17. Jesus speaking. It's John chapter 17. I take terrible notes for myself. It's John chapter 7. If you only knew the process that I go through, because it is like mania. This is why I don't write at all. I mean, I really don't, because if I try to write a paper or I try to write like newsletter, I know I felt bad for Nathan because I know he felt bad. He was gone this week and all the things were going on and the newsletter was coming out this week. And I know he felt bad that he couldn't get the articles written. And I knew I should have stepped up and said, oh, don't worry about that, Nathan. I'll take care of writing those newsletter articles. It's not a big deal. I'll do that. If you've noticed, over the last 8 years, I have yet to write a newsletter article in our newsletter. Has anyone noticed that? If you didn't notice that, just forget I even said that. But I just don't write, because when I try to write something down on a piece of paper, it gets all messed up and jumbled. Even scriptures, because it was supposed to be John chapter 7. There's something missing between. There's a lot of things missing. I admit that. There's a lot of things missing. But something between here and here, it goes missing. So it's John chapter 7. We all have our crosses to bear, right? It says John chapter 7, beginning at verse 16. Wow. Come on, fingers. Catch up. Here we go. He's teaching at the feast. And it says, Jesus answered my teaching, because people are questioning him whether what he's teaching is correct. He says, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses, listen to what it says, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak the truth on my, whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself, but he who works for the honor of those who sent him is a man of truth. So what it says, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God, or whether I speak on my own. So here's the thing. In order to find out whether what Jesus is teaching is accurate and true, whether he's speaking the truth, if you want to find out God's will for your life, you've got to get in and discover it. You've got to get in and look at what God's word is saying. You can't take it from somebody else. You've got to get in yourself and dive into it. And that's what we're going to do. God's will. You can't beat it. But you can be left behind. What I see in the church right now is I see a lot of people that are they're stalled out. Stalled out in God's will. Can I say this accurately in some way here? A lot of people are struggling with what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do, where they're supposed to do, what they're supposed to do. They're stalled out because they haven't quite got the foundational part of who God says they are. They're trying to jump in and drive when they don't know what all the controls will do yet. It's a dangerous thing. My desire and my prayer for the next couple weeks is that we're going to discover what God's will is for each one of us corporately, and then start reaching into individually as we discover God's word. Sound good? I'm excited. This last week of studying of God's will has put some energy back in my step. Ready to go. I'm ready to do. And it's exciting to see young ladies and young men who are stepping out in faith and finding out what God's will is and doing it. And that's what I pray will happen for us as a whole, as a church, is step out and do God's will. I'm going to stop there. We're out of time. If you want to know more, don't do that. We're going to stop there. I got a whole bunch that I want to share, but I'm not going to do it. We're going to stop there. Come back next week. A little teaser, a cliffhanger. Come back next week as we start looking at the corporate of what God's will is for each and every one of us. Sound good? Amen. Let's stand up. We're going to sing a song of decision. You know what? There's a decision that you have to make this morning. There is. You've got to decide whether you're going to come back next week. You've got to decide whether you're going to open up God's word, because you can get a head start on this in a very big way. Because God's word is the thing that's going to change your heart and change your mind. It's real. And it works. And it changes lives. Will you open it up and just start looking, start studying? You've got a decision right now whether you want God to come in. If you want to know what His will is, His good and perfect and pleasing will. Because some of you might not want to know because it requires change. It requires action. It requires walking by faith and not by sight. Let's sing this song.